Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KHCoRadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You're listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874, and you can also access us through the internet on KXLRadio.com. So, podcast.
My mind's completely blank.
I know.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to the show.
We're going to have a short show.
Not that the hosts are short or the guests are short.
Hosts.
But some of us are. Okay, 337-8874 is the phone number. KXO.com is the place where we have the webcast. We have a long-time guest. You introduce yourself, sir. You've been here so many times, it's like, just be one of us today.
Yes, my name is Florentino Olivas. I am the program supervisor for the multidimensional treatment foster care this time.
Whoa. Try that one more time.
Okay. It's a multidimensional treatment foster care.
Foster care.
Yeah.
Short for MDP. No. MTSC. MTSC. And that's a new program that the Behavioral Health started.
That's a program coming out of the Oregon Social Learning Center. And a few of us got trained up there, and we decided to bring it down here to Imperial County, because it's very successful throughout the not only throughout the country, but also throughout the world. They have people coming all the way as far as Europe to come and do this model.
And you know, for those of you who are actually maybe tuning in for the first time, Florentino's been on the show like 8, 10, somewhere more than 10 times.
Yeah,
long-time social worker. Started off with Department of Social Services. Got his master's degree in social work. Got his learner's permit in social work, took his driving test in social work, ran over a couple things, but pretty much passed.
Now you're licensed.
Clinic social worker.
Actually,
are you?
Associate still.
Oh, how close are you?
Okay, I'm pretty close, but I'm still associate. Let's not mislead our public out there.
Dude, you must be this close.
Pretty close.
Good.
And long-time colexical person growing up eating 50-cent chili dogs.
$1.
Two for dollar.
Yeah.
And you got to eat them in line because the line's moving. And.
But let's get to the program, since we don't have that much time.
Okay. Multidimensional foster care.
Multidimensional treatment.
Treatment.
Foster care.
Okay, perfect.
Got it.
Now, why is something with that big of a name important? I mean, what was the problem, I guess, that generated the solution?
Okay, the problem is that sometimes in foster care, the children would get kind of stuck where we would treat the children, and then we would treat the parents, or somebody else would treat the parents, and it was never kind of like a conjunction between two agencies. Like right now, we're working with the Department of Social Services, specific Child Protective Services, and we're trying to get the parent the assistance they need, as well as the child kind of like behavior modification. In other words, help them with any kind of diagnostic or clinical impairments that the child may have.
So these families, they end up with kids in foster care. These are really distressed families. There's lots of stuff going on.
Right. One of the things with these families is that the children are removed. Again, our partners are the Department of Social Services, Child Protective Services. So the children are removed, and sometimes the stressors that cause a child to be removed maybe kind of, I would say, were kind of exacerbated by maybe the child's behavior because the mom or dad or parents just didn't know how to handle that particular behavior.
And even if there's some cause for removal at some point, it's probably not a very stable environment, mm-hmm. so the kid's going to have,
right,
you know.
Right. There are some probably like some coping skills lacking, or they're just not being accessed as frequently as they were maybe in the past. So the parent becomes either frustrated, or the parent becomes just stops doing that coping skill that was working in the past. One of the things that we try to do with this is we're trying to treat not only the parent, but also the child through behavior modification. And as a program supervisor, I'm kind of looking at all the different avenues that we can help the child and the parent reunify fairly quickly.
It was also true kind of that in foster care, it has a kind of track record of not helping that much. I mean, it provides safety, maybe. And
well,
it provides some sort of kind of timeout area. But sometimes families don't get back together very well, and many times kids don't have very happy endings, traditionally.
Yes.
Right. So one of the things that we try to do with this model is we try to teach the parent and the child at the same time, and then through visitations and other avenues that we try to get them so they can have a long-standing relationship even after the fact, less of an adjustment problem. You know, because like you said, sometimes you will place a child in foster care, and then that's the last kind of thing that you hear about them. You might see them for one or two visits as a parent,
mm-hmm.
or I wouldn't say one or two visits, but you might see them for several visits, but no one's actually intervening with the parent at the level where, okay, you will be getting your children back, you'll be getting your child back, so we need for you to kind of understand that these are some of the behaviors that they have now, that these are some of the ways that you can treat those behaviors
mm-hmm.
as a parent, and, you know, who doesn't want some help with their child? I know I do. And, you know, it helps to have somebody kind of understand and say, okay, your child has this kind of situation going on. These are some tips of how you can handle that
mm-hmm.
situation.
So who is involved besides the clinician?
Apart from the clinical staff, which is Lillian Vera and Eva Lara, they're both going to be family therapists. In other words, they'll be working with the parent to enhance the parent's coping skills and their parenting skills. See, all parents have parenting skills. It's just that sometimes, you know, and I'm speaking for myself, sometimes we kind of forget to access the good ones, and we tend to kind of go back to the ones that we feel are the right ones, and sometimes they may not be the case. One of the other things is that we also have a skills coach, and the skills coach is Mr. Jose Lepe, and he is very good at kind of ascertaining what the child needs and how to kind of enhance his skills. In other words, how to do some social learning, how to model some good behavior, how to help the child exhibit that great behavior that, you know, all children have. One of the things that I talked about yesterday is that we have a tendency to say, oh, well, that child is just, he's a bad child, or he's behaving badly. Well, he's not really behaving badly. He's not able to express himself as well as he would like him to. In other words, if a child had optimum performance, you would hope that every child would say, you know what, right now I'm just feeling very upset, so I'm going to go to my room, give me about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't even think some adults even do it.
We want them to do that when they're like 2.5, right?
Right, mm-hmm. right. We expect that. But you know what, it's much easier for a child to throw a tantrum when they're upset, or, you know, if anybody's ever had small children, when they get cranky, you know, because they want a nap. They're not going to tell you they want a nap. They start yelling and screaming
mm-hmm.
and crying, and then you have to, as a parent, you have to say, okay, I know what they need. They need a nap, right? But the child's not able to tell you, I need a nap. We wish they could tell you, but they don't.
Yeah.
You know, so going back to this model is that, like the skills coach, Jose Lepe, what he does is he just enhances those skills the child already has and teaches them some new ones through modeling, through kind of social learning. You know, this is how we do this. This is when we go to the store, we say please and thank you. You know, when we go to the library, we check out books, we wait in the line, right? When we go to the store, we have to also wait in the line. So everything real, I'm trying to just enhance those skills all children have.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some children never learn them. And so that's one of the things that skills coach works on that. The family therapist works on, you know, optimizing
mm-hmm.
the parenting skills for the parent, for their specific child.
Mm-hmm.
And the Department of Social Services does a great job of helping us with, you know, appropriate placements. They're the ones that did the actual recruiting for these particular foster parents. These foster parents have to get trained, and they're pretty much, like I talked about yesterday, they're paraprofessionals. These people are people that we rely on to give us information on a daily basis about the child's behavior.
How the child is progressing.
Right. How the child is progressing, how the child is behaving, how the child is actually
picking up some of the skills here.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And it's kind of like
and reinforcing, too.
Right. They're major reinforcement. And one of the things with the foster parents is kind of like they're let off the hook. They're not supposed to be the firm ones. If they have any problems that are way over what can be taken care of either through active ignoring or through just a simple timeout, they get to call the program supervisor on it. You know, so I'm on call 24/7, and I get to deal with if
we're wondering about the dark circles under your eyes.
Right.
Say anything.
So I get to deal with the problematic behavior, and then we get to deal, you know, I get to do the interventions with the child at some point or another. In other words, the foster parent never has to tell them, like, hey, little Johnny wants to play Nintendo DS, but it's 10 o'clock at night. And, you know, the foster parent talks to him and says, you know what, this is not the right time. And, you know, we can play the
DS stands for dual screen. I just actually learned that.
Okay. So with that being said, is that, you know, if the child continues and throws a tantrum and I want it and this and that, then they say, you know what, why don't we call the program supervisor and see what he has to say? And if he says, yes, you can play, then we'll let you play.
The impartial arbiter.
Right. Oh. Right. So I become like the parent outside of the parenting realm.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one of the things with this program is that it's very structured to add that stability to the child. And with that being said, also, like I said, the Department of Social Services does a great job of just being there for us and supporting those foster parents through their realm. And then we go ahead and get a lot of information from them to help us place them in the appropriate foster placement.
Do you do sessions with the parents and the child together?
At some point, what we do is we just observe and we kind of like take note as to what's going on between the child and the parent. We don't, you know, we don't sit right next to them and say, tell the child this, mm-hmm. tell the child that. But we say, okay, we're going to practice through role play before the visitations. And then at visitations, we kind of look at, you know, is it going appropriate? Is parent able to put those interventions into practice? Everybody, I would say everybody in the world is always looking for how can they help themselves and, you know, self-help in regards to parenting. And so one of the things that we try to teach parents is that we're never going to try to put your child in a foster placement and just every, you know, Johnny did a great job today, we're going to give him a Nintendo DS game. You know, the next day, oh, we're going to give him an Xbox 360. We're not going to do that. We're going to give him simple rewards for appropriate behavior and then just take it from there. Mm-hmm. One of the simple rewards could be, you know what, Johnny, you did a great job. You get to spend an extra 10 minutes watching TV. Or, you know what, this is a non-school night, you know, or tomorrow's a non-school day. You can stay up, you know, and finish the movie. Whether it's
read one more chapter in that fascinating book here.
Right. Or, you know what, maybe we'll sit down and, hey, you know what, you've been asking me about the zoo. Well, why don't we look at a book about, you know, zoo animals? And then just kind of plan accordingly so that maybe, you know, you're not telling them we're going to go to the zoo, but you're kind of like pushing them in that direction, an interest that the child may have. And some children, it's just about spending the quality time with the parent or the adult that really enhances everything. One of the things that I talked about yesterday is like how many people here, you know, would, if you get 100 praises in the day and you get that one bad remark, you dwell on that one bad remark. So what we want to do is
I've done some work on that. I still do a little bit, obviously, but I'm getting better.
Right. And I think everybody does that at one point or another.
It can be human nature.
Right. It's human nature. And so what you want to do is you want to kind of just get positive, because the more, like with us, if every year we get an evaluation, and every year they say, okay, based on your evaluation, you will be getting X amount of a merit increase. In other words, a salary increase. You know, that to you is like a reward. Like, okay, I'm getting my reward for performing well. And then you go over all the stuff that you did well and some of the stuff that you just kind of like need to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's one of the things with this program is that, okay, you know, Johnny, you're doing very well. And some of the things, we talk about it as a positive sandwich. You give them a positive statement. Then you give them something that maybe needs to have some work on it, you know, in a positive way. And then at the end you say, but you know what, Johnny, I really enjoy that you've been here attentively and you're listening. And every day you do a great job of just learning more and more about how you need to kind of structure yourself.
Speaking of structure, it's at the top of the hour. You're listening to KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. And we are a special show, and Maria's going to tell you what show we are. Okay.
Today we're talking with Florentino Olivas. He is the program supervisor for the multi-dimensional treatment foster care.
Oh, you got it. Excellent.
And our phone number here at the station is 337-8874.
Give us a call. Welcome back, Florentino.
Hey.
How was that break for you?
Oh, it was quick.
Hey, I want to go back and break down some of the tape here on the instant replay. You know, you mentioned something that the foster parents, when they're working with these kids, have a couple of interventions basic interventions that they're allowed to do before they call the, you know, arbiter.
Right.
At 4 in the morning. Say, how do I turn off this Nintendo? Talk to me about active ignoring. That sounded like it's like a concept more than just a thing.
Well,
actually, I would like to learn that.
Right.
Here.
Yeah. One of the things
and we won't actively ignore you. Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
So ask your teacher.
One of the things with active ignoring is, like, for the most part, when children have a tantrum and there's really no basis for the tantrum, in other words, the child is not, you know, when they're small, like you said, they want to take a nap or whatever, but there's a tantrum, we'll say Walmart. Sometimes parents can do
it.
Right. One of the things that you can do, we'll say at the store, one of the things that you can do is either you can pay attention to that and try to explain to this child, you know, that's wrong, you shouldn't be doing this, da, 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 da. And that may just escalate this. Okay, so what you want to do is with active ignoring is you're pretty much just actively ignoring the child's behavior and moving on, you know. So one of the things, and there's a great video, and I don't know if it's on YouTube or anything, where there's this child throwing a tantrum, and the dad is recording this. And when dad moves the camera away, you hear the child stop tantruming. When he finds the dad, he looks at the camera and starts tantruming again. You know, and that is a great
tantrum without an audience, isn't it?
I didn't mean that.
Exactly. A tantrum without an audience is kind of like what you want.
That's the point.
Right. You know, that's what you want because there's no audience. There's no reason for a tantrum. You know, and they pick themselves up. Trust me, it's hard at first because we don't want to kind of look like, oh, look at that. That's a bad parent or that's a bad way of parenting.
And I'm sure if the kid's worth his salt, they're going to give it that little extra oomph that's designed to put you over the edge and looking again.
And you hear a lot about parents who say, you know what, they threw a tantrum. So I waited and waited and waited, and right at the end, I gave the child what he wanted.
Ooh.
And, you know, what you did is basically you rewarded that negative behavior.
They know.
You only have to do it for 14 minutes.
Right.
But, of course, if 14 doesn't work next time, you probably want to go 18 just in case because there must be a limit there somewhere. Huh?
Right. Then one of the things with children, you know, children will exhaust themselves.
Yeah,
and yes, it is embarrassing at times. But you want to teach the child, you know, and maybe even before you go into the store, you start letting them know, we're going to the store. You're going to help me with the list, and I'm going to show you the list. You know, bread, milk, this. You know, and then you have them kind of like as your helper, so that way you don't have
to. So we don't go to the store for immediate gratification?
No.
Oh.
Even though a lot of us do that.
Impulse buy.
Right. So what you want to do is, you know, you have them as a helper, and you kind of like get them alongside you. You know, kind of like that.
And teaching them there's a purpose for going
right.
to the store.
When you go to the store, you don't go to the store for immediate gratification, and you don't go to the store just because you feel
We don't. Because,
right.
Do you?
Maria, is that?
You know what? No, I have my list, but then
okay.
Things just end up in my basket.
Okay.
Right. And when things end up in your basket, well, that's a whole other story. But one of the things is that you want to teach, like with active ignoring, you want to give them a set limit, like, no, we're not going to do that. And then maybe, you know what? Next time, just let them know, hey, last time, this was a difficulty, but you know what? I think this time we're going to do a lot better because I have my list, and maybe you can help me out with that list. So you have to kind of, like, have one or two or three or four different things that you're going to try with a child.
And make sure it's fed and rested. And, and I can remember a few Waterloo moments where I took tired kids to stores and tried to get something done at the last minute, and bam.
Right.
Have you identified families already here in the Valley to work with?
Yes, we already have some. We already have some children in the program. We also have some great foster parents that I've been doing. I've been going out and visiting with them, and they are. You know, I think all parents have a great heart, and they have a great ability to want to just understand and just be there for the children and the families. These foster parents just get that extra kind of training to kind of teach them, like, okay, you will be kind of pretty much like our partner. You're a paraprofessional, and we're going to ask a lot of you. Of course, the pay for these parents is a little bit different because we're asking a little bit more and a little bit more behavior modification. We do intensive training, and at the same time, we also do a lot of role play. When I go out there, I try to look for the best match for this child with a certain parent. If I know the child is allergic or hates animals or just dislikes animals, I try not to put them with a family that may have pets, you know. But if the child is, say, the child is English-speaking and he loves puppies, then I'll look for somebody who's English-speaking and has puppies or has...
Do you have a wide selection of specially trained foster parents now, or is
this
still growing?
Yeah, it's still growing, and we're still in the process. And if anybody is interested, they can call Alejandra Rodriguez down at the Department of Social Services, and her number is 760-482-2000. if you're interested in that program or you want to know more about that program for that multidimensional treatment foster care, just go ahead and give her a call, and she will give you all the information. She's great. One of the things is that because I work at social services, I have a lot of, I would say, good relationships. And one of the things with them is that they are very, very interested in this program. And they, you know, even from the director down, they have just been very, very forthcoming with this program. And they just want kids and families to reunify as soon as possible.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Good for everyone.
Yeah. And I've seen those posters, become a foster parent.
Right. Right. And sometimes there have been some billboards out there. And just, you know, if you know that you can do this, and not only do you have the heart, but you have the stamina, I would say, to go through this again with, you know, having children in the home, that'd be awesome. That'd be an awesome
thing. I wonder if the economic situation helps the market for foster care recruitment.
You know, I think for the most part, talking to foster parents, they're not really in it for the financial.
Well, no, because you don't make money, but
right. Maybe
it's a little bit.
But one of the things that, yeah, well, one of the things is that they're really in it because they want children and families to reunify, and they believe in that. And I've talked to, like I said, all the foster parents that I've talked to, they all have this great sense of, we just want to provide help. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of like it takes a village to raise a kid. Mm-hmm. There you go.
I heard that you were working with the foster parents and the children. What about the parents?
Yes, with the parents, we're also working with them on an individual basis. Like I said, it's more parenting education squared. Kind of, we're just really looking at parenting education. We look at what their strengths are.
So individual assessment.
Right. Mm-hmm. What their strengths are, what the limitations may be, okay, may or may not be,
sure.
And then we work with that. And then
do you also look at the reasons why their children were removed?
One of the things is that we do that for assessment purposes, but what I've told parents thus far is that, look, this is something that, this event already occurred. You're already moving yourself in a different direction. What we're going to do is we're going to get you back to where you were before. Because before this took place, you were doing a great job of parenting. Because, you know, there was no system looking at you. There was nothing like that. So one of the things is that I tell all parents, you guys have been parents. Whether you've been a parent for a day, or you've been a parent for 10 years, or you've been a parent for 12 years, you've been a parent. So why don't we get the skills that you know work for your child? Let's build those. And here's some new ones that maybe we can learn and, you know, we can teach you to kind of build up your repertoire.
So it's really building on strengths.
Yeah. Right.
And focusing on the parent-child relationship, letting the parents deal with whatever else is out there by themselves.
Right. Because it, when there is a separation, and sometimes the separations are more than 3 days, 4 days, any kind of time that there's been a separation between a parent and a child, you want to get them back so they start to adjust. And one of the things is that we start educating the parents. There will be an adjustment period. There might be a honeymoon period, which means everything's fine. But there's also going to be some challenging behaviors because, remember, not only did you lose contact with your child when they were X amount of age, they've grown. Mm-hmm. And they've seen things and they've experienced things. And those are things that you have to be ready for. I know it's like some children that, you know what, they've been in the system. And this program is really designed for that. They've been in the system 1-2 years, but they want to go ahead and kind of reunify with the parent or a relative. You know, an aunt, an uncle, a grandfather, a grandparent. Somebody steps up. And or it could be just another person, you know, a family friend. So they step up, and then we have to tell them, okay, this is what's transpired, so we need to teach you these specific things because we know that when the child comes back after that honeymoon period, if there even is a honeymoon period, you're going to see some resistance, you're going to see some kind of behavior that you didn't see before, and you're going to kind of want to think, well, what happened to my child at this point? You know, what happened? When I left them, they were nice, sweet, and innocent. Now they're talking to me this way, that way. They're saying these kind of things. Because remember, children continue to move, evolve, and experience.
What about the issues of working with parents who have a mental health or a substance abuse issue?
Right. With those parents,
how do you work with that?
Right. One of the things as a program supervisor, I have to look at the entire picture. So there has to be some treatment. If the person does have, I will say, substance abuse problems or substance abuse, some substance abuse history, we need to look at that. And make sure, look, we understand that this was a part, but now it's no longer a part. So to reunify, we need to make you successful. And to make you successful, we need to kind of streamline some of these things. People use sometimes, they'll use alcohol and drugs kind of like to cope. So we say, okay, instead of doing that, let's do something else. Something else that not only will enhance your skills as a person, but also, you know, is appropriate for the community and appropriate for your child. Remember, your child's coming back with you. They're going to model how you cope with the world.
Because I thought, I mean, we, you know, Scott worked at Perinatal, and we've worked at Perinatal. A lot of the mothers there, their kids were taken away because of substances. And they started using when they were teenagers. And so they got pregnant and were still using, and some of them never learned any really parenting skills, appropriate parenting skills. Mm-hmm. They might have learned from what they saw around them in their environment, but that's it. So going and you guys stepping in and teaching them.
All right. One of the things with the clinical team that we have is that we look at, okay, this is something that you know, you may have had a history of, but we're looking at this changing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, like, from today to tomorrow. Tomorrow, today is history. I don't know if you guys got that real quick.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we want to change that. We want to change that. You know what? From this day on, you got to move forward. And as you move forward, then you're kind of building a different history. Now, your child or your children, and they say, well, you were always like that. Well, you know, kids think like that. Always. But you know what? Always doesn't necessarily mean always. If you've already changed, and you can look at that and do some reality testing and say, look, always, maybe before, but now, you know what? I've changed. And it's just kind of teaching the kids, hey, you know what? Parents have changed. You've changed. But we can get you back into your family, which is what you want, and then just move on from there. In regards to, like I said, their coping skills, in regards to like teen parents, they may have modeled some, you know, or they may have gotten some suggestions from somebody like, you know what, if you do this, this goes away. But if we know from substance abuse and from all the research, it's like, you know, even though you use X amount of substance, problems are still there. And actually, problems tend to kind of build up and increase, you know, because now you've just added a different problem, you know, physiologically, sometimes through the criminal courts or through the law, and actually through the environment, because now you've taught your child, now you have to reteach the child, you know, this is wrong, this is right. Okay, so we're not judgmental in the way that we're saying, hey, you know what, you da-da-da-da-da. We're just saying, hey, this is what you dealt with because this is what you knew. Let's teach you something different and go from there.
I think one of the ways you could probably approach this is effectiveness.
Right.
How well is whatever you, and typically, I don't know, for me anyway, you know, I had models because I was parented. So regardless of how I was parented, I kind of took that forward and, you know, the stuff that I thought was cool, I tried to do, and the stuff I thought was, like, totally wrong, I did the opposite. And I think that's pretty much true for many people at certain levels. So they come in with some parenting stuff, even if it's fairly unstructured.
Thank you.
So you've got this person who's doing this job as a parent, whether they, you know, willingly or knowingly or awareness or whatever, and it's either working or it's not. And so I guess you could probably sit down with the parents and say, you know, okay, how well is this working? Are you happy with how this is working? Is it easy?
Right.
Rewarding? Is it?
This model is based on, you know, strengths.
Yeah.
And what we do is we look at strengths. Everybody has strengths. You know, even though your situation may look real dire at that point, everybody has strengths because everybody has gone mm-hmm. through life. And one of the things that I tell parents is like, look, you've been a parent. You know what parenting is all about. You know it's hard. Mm-hmm. Okay, now that we know those things, let's change. You know, let's try to build on what we can to make it a little bit more comfortable for you. It's never going to really be easy, but it's going to be comfortable.
Is it easy for people to accept their strengths? I mean, is that something that you kind of have to maybe work with them?
And you know what? If we have to, yeah. If we have to, we have to let them know.
Imagine some parents mm-hmm. that's never had any positive feedback.
Come on. You took my kids away.
Legal system.
And one of the things with systems is...
And the same as well, too.
Right. And one of the things with systems is that, for the most part, systems are there to kind of help the community as a whole. One of the things that I knew when I worked with the Department of Social Services is that sometimes those individuals get the bum rap of, well, all they do is they snatch kids away. Well, no. All they do is they're enforcing the laws based in the state of California. And one of the things is that they need to make sure that children are safe and
safe
secure.
Important.
Right. Safe and secure. And one of the things is sometimes it's a borderline call, and sometimes it's an outright, you know, they know the call, and sometimes they don't even have to make that call because everything's fine. Now, what this program tries to do is we try to intervene at a level where we know the children have been away from the parent, and the parent has been away from the children, and the communication is kind of not really there, but we try to start building on that, and then just really intensify our services.
So there's a degree of stability then, in, at some level, because you're talking about, you know, a year or two, you said, between your target people, and those are children typically that are costing the system a lot of money,
right,
without a lot, historically, without a lot of benefit.
Right.
Because it's hard to grow up being a foster kid.
Right, and one of the things with the Oregon Social Learning Center did a great study, and it's just pretty much showing that, you know what, the more kids are away from their parents, the more distance that there is, you know, emotional distance, not only physical distance, but emotional distance, and that's what you don't want to create, because, okay, imagine somebody's away for 2 or 3 years, and then all of a sudden, you know, they've had a visit once a month, then all of a sudden you want to put them there 24/7 with a parent, you know, there's going to be a major breakdown in not only communication, but adjustment. You know, what do these kids learn now, and what has the parent learned?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, does the parent...
And they haven't had a lot of practice if you've only had monthly visits.
Right. And one of the things, like, say the child is removed at age of 6, now the child is 9. You know, for those of you that have had kids who are
9, 6, 9,
a lot of things change. And that's one of the things that we have to teach parents is like, okay, the child was this when you kind of, you know, that's the picture that you have in your mind, but now they're this.
Yeah.
And with visits, I want you to start looking at that and start saying, okay, he's not my 6-year-old. He's my 9-year-old now, but he's still my child. And now I just need to move and progress in that way.
Well, and they start having to probably demonstrate that I'm not the person with strengths who may have been struggling before. I'm
right.
The person with strengths who's doing a lot better, thank you.
Right. And the parent really has to kind of look at that and say, you know what, I'm still your parent. And I'm still, you know, I'm still part of your life, and I'm going to be part of your life forever. So one of the things that you want to do is you want to make sure that the parents understand that completely, and then take it from there. In other words, start building on everything that they have, and teaching them the new skills. You know, I can't harp that too much, because that's what this program is all about. And I'm very excited. I'm looking forward to, you know, even trying to get more parents into this program, because I think this is a viable, strong, effective program. You know, like I said, for people around the country, to go and implement this program and have success, you know, basically what we're all about at Behavioral Health is, you know what, research-based, and is it effective? And you know what, this program is very effective. You know, we're not saying it's 100%, but, you know, it's pretty darn close. And that's the only thing that we can do is, you know what, let's implement it and let's go for it.
The other way, if it doesn't get, you know, if this program is not around, these kids grow up, you know, they grow up, might not ever get reunified with their parents, and they age out of the foster care system.
Right.
And then they're by themselves. You never lost that relationship with the parents. Parents, you know, lost that relationship with each other. It just, they end up by themselves on the
right.
And that's where, you know.
And everybody might have been really well intentioned, but nobody ever stopped and did the skill thing.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Right. And one of the things with when kids who do age out, for the most part, it tends to go back to their families, but it's kind of chaotic.
Yes.
Because they don't, you know, it's like you're
pretty good roommates. That communication.
Right. Like you have some memories, but they're not as well perceived as what you thought. You know, and that's one of the things with the foster parents do a great job of just modeling. They do a great job of doing the interventions. In other words, the positive reinforcements, the timeouts, the active ignoring when they need to. But for the most part, you know, for the children so far in this program, they've done very well. They've done very well, and it's because the whole team, you know, the Department of Social Services and our behavioral health team do a great job of looking at where would this child be best placed and who would best serve this child.
337-8874 is the phone number. We have Florentino Olivas, our program supervisor, associate social worker. A couple more minutes here this morning. If you want to give us a call, 337-8874, talking about multidimensional treatment for foster care. I got that T in there. So you how many kids have you got now? How many families are you working with?
Right now we're looking at about 3 families, and we have about there's still some in transition. So we're looking at about 7 children, and we're also looking at about 6 foster care placements or 6
wow.
foster care people ready for placement. One of the things is that they still have to come through behavioral health, and I have to kind of look at everything. That one of the things of this program is I have to do a lot of stuff. So that's a plug if Mike is listening. I have to do a lot of stuff, but one of the things is that I find a lot of benefit in if you do all these things, the children, the families, and the foster parents, they all benefit. So if one of the people has to be doing all these things, in other words, communicating with schools, communicating with social workers, communicating with the court system, communicating with programs that are out there that are helping the parent, okay, communicating with the foster parents, communicating with the clinical staff, communicating with the Department of Social Services in regards to eligibility, all those things, then you kind of like centralize everything, so then one person is kind of like the database. So if anything, there's ever a problem, I can look at and say, okay, here's the situation right here, and this is where we need to move this system to help this family right here.
So the key thing is having more foster care parents.
Yes. One of the
if we have more, we can get more children into the
program. If we have more, we can help more families. And one of the things is that
our listeners, if you're interested, please contact Department of Social Services.
Yes. And one of the things with that is that we're always looking at how much more we can do. And everybody, like I said, from social services to the clinical staff, everybody has the best interest of the family, okay, the child and the parent at hand. And that's what we're working on together. And to me, that is that's just something that really tells me community. Two enormous agencies working together for one common goal. And I know there's a lot of, team building and this and that. But sometimes our agencies, because of our dynamics, we clash. And this one right here, we're like, it's made my job very easy. And I'm really enjoying this program.
In spite of being the person who communicates with everyone about everything.
Right. But you know what? That's something that I love to do. And one thing that, like I said, you see the fruits when you go visit with the children. You see that, they're excited to see you. But they know what your role is.
What kind of timeline is this for treatment, for turnaround? What are you guys' expectations on this process?
Right.
Are you only 1 month?
No, we're looking at 6 to 12 months. And if we need to extend, because there's just a couple
of time for practice. It's your
right.
practice space.
Right. Right. And one of the things, like I said, we want to make sure that the parent is feels comfortable, and want to make sure that the child has, build up as many skills as they can, and then, boom, we go to the next level. We're just trying to unify.
And a big emphasis on coaching, because you've got the parents being coached, the foster parents are being coached
right.
in a way, and the child's being coached.
Right. Right, and like I said, we're getting a lot of support from a lot of different agencies, and a lot of agencies have been very supportive from us, and I've gotten a lot of calls from them and saying, we heard about the program, and we're willing to help, and in whatever capacity, which is excellent. That just helps, like I said, helps me to do my job easier. It helps me to kind of, it all, like a trickle-down thing. It all goes down to, makes everybody's life a lot easier. One of the other things I wanted just to mention is that we do have a weekly foster parent meetings. So we have meetings with the foster parents to deal with whatever the dynamics are in the home. We don't talk specifics about per child, but we talk about, okay, children who do tantrums, specifics. What are some things that help? What are some things that, won't help?
And it's a group meeting with all the parents together?
All the foster parents. All the foster parents that have been trained.
How many have been trained again?
I want to say there's been about 6 families. So, and then we also have a clinical team, which we have the foster parent team. And then we have the clinical team, which is the 2 therapists, the skills coach, and myself. And then we kind of look at a roundabout way and say, okay, we've gotten this information. What do we do for the following week to change it? To change,
so it's responsive to the individual needs
right.
of that group
right.
as it grows and
as it grows and it changes.
And gets different.
And this program is very fluid. So 1 week, everything's great. And then next week, some things have started. So we need to kind
and
of...
And then we deal with
yeah.
it. Like,
right.
Yeah,
right. Exactly.
Nice. Thanks for coming aboard here, Francie. That sounds like a fun program.
All right. Thank you.
Again, the number is for foster parents because it's so
right.
important.
The number for
I mean,
foster parents, if you want to contact Alejandra Rodriguez, and her number is 760-482-2000.
I think we need to have, again, some billboards again and just with her number there.
Right.
We need you.
And then what we'll do, I think, Francino, is we'll grab you in about a year and hear about some of the kids who have gone through this, hear about some of the stuff that's working, and really get a chance to shine some positive light on
right.
Program.
We'll talk about the success stories, and we'll talk about the limitations.
Oregon's going to be moving down here.
Right.
And then, of course, hopefully more parents got foster parents got trained.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
We want that.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming aboard today.
Thank you so much.
Join us again next week for another fun-filled adventure of Let's Talk About It, your voice of wellness here in the Imperial Valley. And don't forget, this website will be up on podcast.mtxlradio.com. very shortly. Thanks for listening. Join us again.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KDBO 88.7 FM, Crosby, England. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by AXRadio.com.